Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Friends and family in Christ, thank you so much for joining us. And we just love the fact that you guys are tuning in, watching, and sharing the podcast. I do want to mention some exciting news. We've got the website for the conference up, and that is worldviewmattersconference.com. So you can check that out. We'll tell you more about it next week. But worldviewmattersconference.com. And that's coming up May 1st and 2nd. So today's guest, it's good to have her back. I can't believe we haven't talked to Jack Marino Chen in a year or more, but the website, Jack, JACMarino.com, she's got a new book. It's coming out soon. We're going to talk about that and just kind of catch up with her. Her YouTube channel, look up Jack Marino Chen on YouTube, and she's on Instagram, Facebook. But let's bring her in right now from the West Coast, or should I say Left Coast? Sorry, Jack. Good to see you.
It's so good to be here, and it's so good to be talking with you today. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming back on, and I'm looking forward to catching up. It's been a while. We had you on first, I think the first time was with Doreen and, let's see, oh my goodness, Jen Niza, that's right. And so we had you on a couple times by yourself after that, and we haven't had you on in a while. So, Jeff, before we do anything else, let's bring up the book. It's on Amazon, friends. It's not out yet, but you can look up the information and pre-order. It's called Ensnared, and this is what we're talking about today, overcoming the darkness of the new age and occult with the light of God's truth. That sounds good. Sounds like a tall order for some, Jack. So first, before we do anything else, you've been married now for 4 years. It just, to me, I was telling you before we got on the podcast, it seems like you're still a newlywed. But I keep up with you on your Facebook. You are very active at your church. How are things going with you personally and at church? And, of course, your marriage.
Yes, that's very kind of you. Going really well. Marriage is such a gift, as you know. It's a blessing. It's sanctifying for many different reasons. But I am just so thankful for my husband. I'm thankful that we get to serve at our local church, which has been a huge blessing to me. Even as a single woman, just that was such a blessing to me, being at my local church and growing there, and then met my husband there. And we continue to be blessed by our church and serving there. And our friends and our family, and just learning how to be married and really, really enjoying it. So it's been a sweet few years.
So you also are a worship leader or on the worship team. I know you're a good singer. Tell us a little bit about your music ministry, that side of things. Do you do that? You and your husband work together on that?
Yeah, that's been so sweet. I remember the first time that I sang after I was saved. It was like, this is why I sing. It's so clear now why I have a voice at all. It's to glorify God. And my husband and I met on the worship team at our church. So that's always sweet when we get to serve together. And then my husband is just, he loves writing songs. If he's left alone for any amount of time or he has any free time, he'll be at the piano just writing songs. And the Lord has really gifted him with that. So it's been a joy for me to get to sing those songs and little quote unquote recording studio. And it's that, it's not much, but it's ours kind of thing. But we really enjoy just recording songs and getting to share them to hopefully encourage others.
So every time I see either a video or something on, you know, something that you put out, and I see you flash some old images of you BC before Christ, it really is astounding to look at you now. And I know I've told you this before. I think every time I have you on, I tell you this. I mean, you're still glowing, and that's the light of the Lord, truly. And it's just amazing. It just seems like completely different people that we're looking at, the old Jack and now the new. And really, you are a new creation in Christ, and you still are in that stage, I think. I don't know how long that lasts. I think it's different for everybody, depending on their background, how they got saved, and everybody has a testimony. But can you speak to that for a moment? There are a lot of people out there that know someone that really needs Christ and really needs to be saved, but they seem so far from God, like it's hopeless, but it's never hopeless. Talk to us a little bit about that before we dive into your book a little bit.
Yes, that's such a good point. I know before I was saved, I really bought into the lie that I was too far gone to be saved. I thought I dug myself into a hole too deep to ever crawl out of. The darkness that I was in just seemed, it seemed too late for me, and I really believed that lie. And yet, it wasn't that I cleaned myself up or, did all these works, got myself right, and then the Lord saved me. But it was in my brokenness, in my despair, in that darkness that Jesus Christ saved me. And when I look back at those old photos, I mean, it's not just a picture to me. I remember how I felt. I remember who I was. I remember that sickening feeling of just being so gut-wrenchingly empty and hopeless. And then I look at my life now, and it's so easy to forget that because Jesus Christ has redeemed my life. And so just encouraging everyone, if you're still alive, if your loved one is still alive, it is not too late for Jesus Christ to completely save you eternally and save your soul and to redeem your life. And how that plays out, the redeeming part looks different for everyone. For me, having come out of drug and alcohol addiction, sobriety, it's such a blessing. I'm 8 years sober now, and so I can see a physical change as well, as a spiritual change. So that's a blessing. And yeah, I'm so amazed by who the Lord truly is.
And it does seem when you're in it that it might be hopeless, and you don't seem like anyone could love you, especially as much as Jesus loved us enough to die for us. You mentioned John 1:5 on your website, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And I want to read just the first sentence on your book page. And then, Jeff, if you could go to Jack's website and scroll down right under where it says testimony, and just let that video play for B-roll where it says my testimony right there. Look at that. So I'm just going to read this. It just seems like you're not even the same person, because you're not. It says Jack Marino Chen was a drug and alcohol addicted, self-described sorceress practicing ritual magic in a Masonic temple, trapped by darkness, deception, and hopelessness. She didn't think there was a way out until Jesus rescued her. And then, you were into the New Age as well. In past programs, we've talked to you about the growth of witchcraft and the occult, and in the public schools, in the government schools. And I wrote a little bit about that in past books on what they allow in the public schools. And they were all into Harry Potter, and that just took things to a new level of interest in the occult and witchcraft. Can you speak to that a little bit, Jack?
Yes, I can even speak to when I was in high school, quote unquote back in the day, but around in the 2010s, and in PE, we were doing yoga. I learned namaste. I bow to the light in you, meditating. And although it seems I didn't think it was that big of a deal then, and my mom would have probably been really embarrassed if she complained because it seemed like everyone else was fine with it. Those little seeds, those ideas planted in my head of yoga, of those experiences, that pseudo peace that I felt during those meditative states, learning about, oh, what does it mean the light in me bows to the light in you? That actually played into my later belief systems developing into the New Age movement and then later into ritual magic in the occult. So it breaks my heart, the things that seem innocent or fun and yet are glorifying and glamorizing occult and New Age practices in children in those formative years. I mean, if we're adults, we can remember how much those formative years impact us deeply. And I can speak from my own experience and the experience of so many others, those little seeds planted of deception later they can grow into very, very ugly things. And I'm so thankful for people who have parents who know the Bible and can equip their kids with the Bible, which I didn't have, so that when they see something that is fake, that is opposed to the Bible, it's clear. But for me, it sounded beautiful.
So what is that lure? Or I'm sure there's many different ones depending on where kids are coming from, but what generally that from your experience, and you know a lot of people probably that were also practicing witchcraft and jumped into this, what lures them in? Is it promises of power, a different life, happiness, whatever? Tell us about what lures anyone, not just children or young people, but anyone into these practices, the occult, witchcraft, things like that.
Yes, that's a great question. And I really do think it comes down to As the Bible talks about, when we're lured away and enticed by our own desires, by our own lusts, like the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the boastful pride of life, whether it's pride of feeling special, if you have a supernatural experience, people who have those experiences are usually seen as having secret knowledge from the great beyond, or it seems like this great thing that, oh, you had this supernatural experience that kind of sets you apart. Or if you've had it, I can speak for myself. I really felt special and chosen and powerful, and it gave me this sense of pride and a desire to pursue more of those experiences. Or if it's just, there's so many different ways that in our sin we lust after these things. And one way that I really see it played out for young people is, I mean, it is really enticing to think that you have the power to be like God. And a lot of the New Age, the occult, witchcraft tells you that you can manifest your own life. You can make your will be done. You can actually be the one in control. You have the pen to write your own story. You are the powerful one, and you deserve to have everything you've ever dreamed. And not only that, but you deserve to unleash the power within you to make it happen. And the occult can tell you how to do that. And, we're back in the garden with the serpent lying and saying that you can be like God and wanting us to be destroyed. But I really see that even with young kids, this. I mean, we all suffer, we all struggle, we all have trials in our life, and to be promised this, oh, you can actually have the control to create your own life, and you just have to embrace this secret knowledge. Plus, it's glamorized and glorified in our culture as cool to be a wizard or a witch or a sorcerer. It's enticing in our sin.
That's absolutely correct. It's glamorized and it is cool to rebel against God and almost in a, well, the Bible says there will be mockers and scoffers in the end times. And here we are in the last days. So is it also maybe in your experience from people or young people that you knew that were also involved in that, do some do it for attention? I mean, that seems like one of the maybe the bottom reasons, but I see anything that would give someone attention doing something different and getting into this, is that an element of this too?
Yes, I think that can definitely play into it, a desire to belong and a desire to be accepted. I mean, apart from Christ, when we're living in this world without peace, wanting to belong, with wanting to have acceptance, and then offered that if you rebel, then you can have that acceptance you're looking for. You'll be seen as cool. Or maybe, with these psychic gifts, mediumship, these experiences, then you have this upper hand where you not only are accepted, but you're depended on to provide secret knowledge to people that they can't get by other means, but you've been chosen as this vessel to relay psychic messages and insights. Or if you're a witch, you can read their cards, and suddenly you have an in that feels real. And in reality, it's a deception that is leading to your own destruction. And it's heartbreaking, but it feels good to be accepted by the world and this world's corrupt system. And sadly, in this world's corrupt system, more and more, this occultism and new ageism is what is cool, is what is accepted, because this world is opposed to God. And it's really sad to see that playing out in our culture, where, back in the day, you had to go to a seek like an off the beaten path store to get tarot cards, to get witchcraft books and things like that. It was maybe not taboo, but close to it. It was not super acceptable. But now, I mean, similar to the LGBTQ movement, sadly, it's cool to be different. It's cool to be a witch. It's cool to be a rebel against the system, against the patriarchy, against whatever it is, so that you can be your own God, and that you can define who you are in your own way. And it just breaks my heart, because false identities that the occult and the New Age give, that's what they are. They're false, and there's no real hope there. It's all an illusion, and it leaves you dead.
Well, all of this is false. It's a counterfeit. It's something. It's the opposite. It's Antichrist. And in your description of the book, Ensnared, you use the word false when it comes to promises of connection. It says break free from false promises of connection, identity, control, and be empowered to reach out to others caught in the deception. Identity is a big thing. I mean, the last several decades, can't believe how that word and that idea Identity is just so important to some. I mean, some people idolize identity, right? And we know that's with the LGBTQ, and that's the culture we're living in now. Identity is so big. And in this case, we're talking about demonic influences. In fact, that's on the book description as well. These are all demonic elements behind occult practices. And whatever you want to touch on, Jack, because you mentioned numerology, crystals, tarot cards, Ouija boards, alien contact, witchcraft, and more. Maybe we should go to something that we hardly ever hear much about, alien contact. Some people just say, no, there's no such thing. Other people are all in, but we understand these are demonic spirits, are they not?
Yes, they are. And I'm glad that you brought that up, because Ensnared, my heart was really to follow my life like a trail, and with pit stops at these really big moments in my life that, you know, it sounds crazy that I ended up in a Masonic temple in a black robe practicing ceremonial ritual magic. You know, people, that sounds really hard to wrap your head around, especially wrapping your head around that someone could think that's good and right and pure even. But what my desire was to show how it really was for me, this slow burn, this gradual floating, almost drifting into where I ended up there. By the time I got to the Masonic temple, it didn't seem weird. It didn't seem scary. It seemed like home because I was so familiar with it. And starting in my childhood, my first really supernatural experience was with these lights in the sky that I thought were angels, because that's the only concept that I had. I thought they were the deceased angels or spirits of my dad's friends who'd passed away from the effects of drug and alcohol addiction that I was close to. And then I learned about aliens, and that gave a framework for what I experienced that made a lot more sense. UFO, the alien thing, and that supernatural experience, it was a high for me. And I believed that I had a childhood sexual abuse. I believed that they saw all that. They knew the real me. They knew all the secrets that I had been hiding about that abuse, and that they accepted me. And I, from that experience, really ran after supernatural experiences. I got, I had homosexuality in my life that I was pursuing in rebellion, thinking I could embrace this forbidden knowledge in different facets of rebellion. And then really throughout my life, I continued having these quote-unquote alien experiences throughout my life since a child, to where when I became an adult and those experiences became more outwardly evil in an quote-unquote abduction experience that was horrifying and terrifying and embarrassing. And if I had just had that, it would have clearly been scary. But because I had embraced these supernatural experiences since my childhood and thought that they were my guides, that they were my friends, that they were imparting to me the knowledge that I am to embrace good and evil to gain power, and all these teachings that are patently unbiblical and evil, by the time things got really weird, I had already been desensitized to them and refused to let it go, and just kept telling myself, no, this must be good. So it's really tragic how people get caught up in the alien, cool, exciting, supernatural experience. Wow, what a high. And then in reality, over and over again, we see when people have alien, quote unquote, contact experiences, that the knowledge that they're imparted is actually just demonic foolishness to embrace evil.
The spiritual realm is real. And I mean, people that read the Bible, Christians understand that. We talk about spiritual warfare a lot, but it is very real. We have an enemy of our soul that hates us. That's why, I mean, you know, Jesus talked about that. Paul talked about that. So you mentioned a lot of different things there and how people can be duped by this and then become familiar with it. And there's a little mystery involved in this too, because other than maybe the books that the witches and the, you know, Satanists put out, here's how you do this, here's how you cast spells, for the average person or young person that is not as exposed maybe as you were, there's some mystery to it that kind of maybe draws them in, is there not?
Oh, yes. It's very enticing, the I don't know. That's why I try to be so careful in talking about it as well, because I get that in our flesh, that secret knowledge is so enticing. It sounds mysterious, but I mean, that is really the heart of the book as well, is to break down and show on its face what these teachings are, what the experts in these fields say, and how what seems to be hidden behind all this code and allegory and initiations and secret knowledge is actually just the same old, nothing new under the sun, unbiblical, demonic lies that is nothing new. And praise the Lord that he spoke to these things in the Bible, that the gospel really is the answer, that Jesus really is the only savior, that God really is holy, and that he so loved the world that he sent his son Jesus Christ to live the life that we haven't lived, perfectly without sin, even though he was tempted, to go to the cross and die on behalf of sinners, bearing sin and the just punishment that we deserve in our place. Really died, really was buried, really rose on the third day, and then ascended to the right hand of the Father as the only way for us to be saved and have eternal life, as the only mediator between God and man. I mean, you search the world, you search the occult, you search in the darkest pits, and you don't find salvation, you don't find true forgiveness, you don't find true redemption. It's in Jesus Christ alone that these things are found. So what sounds so enticing and ooh, whatever, is just, it's all an illusion. It's all a mirage that just leads to, drops off in hell, tragically. And that's why so important that you are out here proclaiming the truth of who Jesus is and standing up against this false system in this world.
Amen. Amen. So, I mean, if fun study to do, friends, if you ever do a study on light and darkness, do a word search and just look up scriptures and how what Jesus said, what Paul said, what the Bible teaches about light and darkness. I just want to mention one verse that's on your website, another really good one, Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I love that, delivered and then transferred. The book is called Ensnared, great title. Did you decide on that word? Did you get impact or input from other people that knew your story? How did the title come about? Because it's a perfect word for what you're describing.
Yes, I'm just so thankful for just how kind the Lord is to provide that. That was something that, in talking back and forth, that was a name that was thrown out, and it was so clear when I saw that this is it. That is exactly what I was ensnared. The Bible talks about being ensnared, and I was trapped in this deception, thinking it's light. And one thing I will say, because when I was in that whole alien world, I met with a guy who used to travel with Stephen Greer, one of the top, UFOologists, and this guy was a scientist, and he told me he can help me with the scary things I was going through, and he was all about peace and love. And I recently, my husband and I had an opportunity to talk to him and warn him that what he thinks is light is truly demonic. And what's so hard is, then back then, what I believed and what this man believes is that no, these beings are light and peace and good. And that's really because those definitions get redefined. So we're using the same words, but we have different definitions for love and peace and good, and everything gets flipped on its head, which is exactly what you speak up against in the culture, that, and a lot of times we're using the same words, but the culture redefines things to have different definitions that are unbiblical. And that breaks my heart, because you get ensnared in these things. So whether I'm speaking to anyone watching this, maybe you're in the occult, maybe you stumbled upon this, maybe you're in witchcraft, or you know someone who is, I understand that it might seem like light, but I completely agree with what David said. Go and search the scriptures for what true light is, because what this world and the occult touts as light is truly darkness disguised as light. And I think of 2 Corinthians 11:14 that says Satan masquerades; he disguises himself as an angel of light, but that mask is Satan.
Absolutely. He's a counterfeit. He's the author of lies, the author of confusion, the father of lies. And you said about that, the guy that you had known before that was into all this, light, peace, and good. And those are counterfeits, because that's who Jesus is. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is our peace. We can have true peace in Christ. And Jesus is good. And even though he said only one is good, but God alone, but Jesus is God. So they're counterfeits. Anyone else masquerading as light, peace, good? We're running out of time, Jack, but I wanted to touch on one thing specifically. Some young people or kids or even adults go into things like Ouija boards and they understand, okay, there's a kind of a creepy, dark or demonic element to that. But I've heard of, and I sadly know from a past church, Christian women that were into crystals. Can you speak to that for just a minute or two briefly, please?
Yes, and I totally understand that crystals can get, they're beautiful, they're accessible, they're an easy way in the door. But when the ideology that comes with crystals is that they hold frequencies stronger than maybe we do. And because in the New Age, it's taught everything is frequency. If you hold on to a crystal with a frequency of healing or good or prosperity, then your frequency will attune to the crystal's frequency, and then you'll be able to attract those things or heal yourself, or people that use them for magical purposes to do magic. And that is, it seems, you know, oh, what's so bad about me holding on to a crystal to heal my broken heart or help me with these things? But at the end of the day, sure, you're not bowing down to the crystals, but if you're going to anyone or anything other than God for healing, for peace, or if you're trying to make your will be done, manifesting your life's desires, you're practicing idolatry. And so that doesn't mean if you have crystals in your home because they're beautiful, that's wrong. That's a totally different story. But if you are using crystals as a way to heal yourself or to manifest your life or anything like that, that is idolatry. And it's a huge teaching in the occult. And you go to the deepest, darkest corners of the occult, you will find them using crystals for magical practices because the belief systems behind that are demonic.
Thank you. That was good that you really condensed that. And these can turn into idols, friends. And so just be warned. I mean, last time we had you on, I think we talked about yoga too, and the subtle deception. It's just, what's wrong with exercise and stretching? Okay, well, let's define what you're doing. And anyway, we'll do that another time. Lord willing, we'll talk again about your book, Ensnared. It's coming out, but people can pre-order that. Friends, if you can do that while you're thinking about it right now, you can look it up on Amazon, Jack Marino Chen. Look up Ensnared, or you can go to her website, jackmarino.com. There you are, beautiful child of God. Thank you so much for being on again with us. It's so great to catch up with you. I can't believe it's been as long as it has. But because I see you, I guess because I see you on either Instagram or Facebook, I see you and your husband or things you put out. So it doesn't seem like it's been as long, but our audience are going, yeah, where's she been? So thanks for all you do. Any closing thoughts real quick, just in 30 seconds, Jack?
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I just want to encourage you. I am so encouraged by you. I am so encouraged by your faith and your boldness and your courage that the Lord has given you by his grace. So just keep on keeping on. And everyone watching this, I am so thankful that the Lord has uniquely gifted him to be used in this way. And so if we could all just be praying for your ministry and your life and all the things God is doing in your life, that he continues using you for his glory.
Amen. Thank God bless you, sister. And good reminder, friends, pray for Jack. When anyone that's in ministry is a target of the enemy and there's warfare involved. And thank you again for your time. We really appreciate it. We'll do this again. God bless you, friends. As always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.